Good morning. It's cold outside. I hope you all stayed safe last weekend when we canceled services. I was sad to cancel services, but I understood why we needed to. I hope your worship service was as cool as mine. We watched some worship songs in the house with the fire going, and then I went and shoveled the driveway. And while I was shoveling the driveway, I listened to a Navy SEAL officer give his testimony of his conversion to Christ, and it was awesome. And my beard had ice in it, and I was like, yeah, let's go. It was so much fun. I hope you guys had the same kind of worship experience as I did. You probably didn't, but, you know. My name is Mike, if you don't know who I am. We are in a sermon series called Free Indeed, as you can see on the screen. And this morning you can see the title of the sermon is Freedom to Choose. And before we jump into that sermon, I just want to point out that in your bulletin there are some announcements. Very important you look at your bulletin to see what's coming up. One thing I want to point out is beginning this Wednesday at 7 p.m. in the conference room, that's the one with the long table, we are doing a Good Sense Ministry course. If anybody is interested in taking it, there's still room. If only a few people sign up, we're still doing it. I mean, I will teach that class to one person. I know for Cassie and I, it was really instrumental in us getting a handle on our finances back when we were in college, when we had no money. And I still use those principles today. That starts this week. It's an 8-week course, so all of February and March will be the Good Sense course. Enough with the announcements and commercials. Let's get into the sermon. So, we're free. In Christ, we are free. And that means we have a freedom to choose. I love choice. Do you guys like choice? Pepsi or Coke? Pepsi, Pepsi, Pepsi. No Coke, no Coke, Pepsi. Cheeseburger or hot dog? There's a few hot dogs out there. That's fine. For the gamers, PlayStation or Xbox? I hear a PC Master Race, and that wasn't an option. Ford or Chevy? I expected a Dodge in there, even though I didn't say it. Ram! So many people drive Rams. I wish I had a truck again. By the way, I'm sure parking's at a premium out there. I got stuck in the back parking lot this morning because I drive a Chrysler now and not a truck. Don't worry, I got myself out, but it took a minute. I don't know why. It's fine. But we have these choices, right? Those are silly choices. Those are not ground-shaking, world-changing choices. Those are just preferences, right? But even as adults, children, teenagers, we have choices that are like healthy choices, right? Ice cream or Greek yogurt? See, that is the right choice, but the choice I make a lot lately is Greek yogurt because I'm trying to be healthy. Just a selfless plug. I used to make the joke that this doesn't run because the only thing in my family that runs is diabetes. But I started the elliptical machine. It's an instrument of Satan. I just want to put that out there. But I made myself a goal. I'm going to make a healthy choice, right? I'm going to make a healthy choice. I'm going to start running on the elliptical machine, and I'm going to try to get a mile in under 7 minutes by the Super Bowl. And I made that goal. I made that goal back, was it December? I think December. Not this past Friday, but the Friday before, I ran a mile in 6 minutes and 49 seconds. I told that to somebody, and they looked at me like, something that big should not be that quick. I was like, agreed. Agreed. I should not be that quick. I promptly died right afterwards and hit my inhaler, and I was fine. But healthy choices, right? Sometimes those healthy choices aren't fun. I did have a bowl of ice cream last night. It was the first time in forever that I had a bowl of ice cream. And you know what? My stomach kind of hurt afterwards because I've been making healthy choices. The other night we went to the Blues game and I had 2 Pepsis. And that was a mistake. That was a mistake because I didn't go to sleep until midnight and I had to be at work at 5. My body was like, whoo, what is this? We haven't had this in a while because you've been making healthy choices. We have freedom to choose, right? And again, these are silly choices. These are healthy choices. These aren't going to be like change the world choices. They might change your world. But as we look at Scripture, we can see that we have choices. We have choices. Let's look at a couple of passages and a quote as we jump into this lesson. In John 8:36, this is like our theme verse for the sermon series. It says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." In Galatians 5:1, it says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." There's a choice in this passage. There is a choice here. We have been set free. Don't choose to go back to slavery. There's a quote on your notes and up on your screen from Michael J. Fox. And he said this in an interview. "I have no choice about whether or not I have Parkinson's. I have nothing but choices about how to react to it. In those choices, there is freedom to do a lot of things in areas that I wouldn't have otherwise found myself in." So he doesn't have a choice if he has this disease, but he has a choice as how to respond to it and how to live his life based on that disease. And today we're going to look at only three choices. I'm just going to look at three choices. There's a ton of choices that you have as a Christ follower. There are so many things that every choice you make should be influenced by the fact that you follow Christ. Every choice. I'm just going to narrow it down to three this morning for time's sake, because you want to go home by four tonight, and we could be here all day talking about the choices we have in Christ, but we're just going to look at three this morning. So in saying that, I want to encourage you to do yourself a favor and get on whatever Bible program you use, whether it's Bible.com or Bible Gateway or StudyLight.org or YouVersion, whatever program you use, and type in the word choose and choice. And see what Scripture brings up for you about choices that you have and are made in Scripture. But what choices do I have in Christ? What are these three questions we're going to look at this morning? Well, first off, I have no choice if I'm going to go through storms. I have no choice if I'm going to go through storms. Mike, you just said we're going to talk about three choices. Yeah, each one's going to have a no choice before it. So just like Michael J. Fox said, I don't have a choice if I have Parkinson's, but I have a choice of how I respond to it. We're going to look at these three choices in this light. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 25, in the first half of the verse, it says this, "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house." This is in the parable of the wise and foolish builder. Just so you know the context. And Jesus is telling the story, and he says, rain fell, floods came, wind blew, and beat on that house. And in that parable, the storm comes to both builders. The storm comes to both builders. Scripture never tells us that we won't have problems as God's children. In fact, it tells us the exact opposite. It says, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. You're gonna have problems. You are going to have problems. But we just sang a song. I raise a hallelujah in the midst of the storm. I'm going to sing in the midst of the storm. You see, I have no choice if I'm going to go through storms. I choose my response to the storm. I choose how I go through the storm. Everyone gets stormed on. Everyone. A wise person once told me there are three types of people in the world. One's about to go in the storm, one's in the storm, and one's coming out of the storm. Only three types of people. Where are you right now? Are you coming out of the storm and you just get through something and you're like, I need a break. But we made it. We made it through the storm. Maybe you're in a storm right now. Maybe something has fallen apart in your life and you're like, God, I need help. Or maybe you're like, life's been a little too easy lately. Something's about to hit. I've been there. Life's been a little too easy lately. Something's about to hit. I know there's been times in my life where I'm like, God's preparing me for something. God is getting me ready for something because something's coming. I've been there. When we go to buy a vehicle, we don't just go buy a vehicle. We do research. We test drive. We look at cars. We look at comparable things. We look at prices. We think, we look at our budget. We're like, what can we afford? And it's almost time for us to get a new vehicle. And we went and we test drove a vehicle. And we could afford this car. We could do this. I mean, it wouldn't be a stretch for us to afford this vehicle. But we're being wise about it because we have medical bills for my wife's surgery and hospital stay this past summer. And it's probable our daughter Cara is going to be having surgery very shortly on her ankle. I'm not in a storm right now, but I see one on the horizon, if that makes sense. And so we are choosing to not be burdened by a car payment. We're choosing to honor God with our money, and we're choosing to be ready for the storm. What about you guys? Do you understand that you are in a storm? You just got out of a storm, or you're about to go in one? There's three people on the face of the planet. Let's look at some scripture here. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, Peter is talking about sinful people. And the storm is their mentality and their sin, just so we know the context here. He says, these people are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. These people are being blown about. James talks about the storm's coming, they blow you around, you're like a leaf on the wind. You have no control. These people are just wrecked by the storm. But in Isaiah chapter 25, he's talking about God and he says, for you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall. God is a shelter. God is a safe harbor. He's right there with you in the storm. I love reading about how Jesus calmed the storm, but my favorite part isn't Jesus calming the storm. It's the fact that he's asleep while his disciples are freaking out. I'm like, I don't know about you guys. I've been on a little boat in a storm. It's terrifying. But I was with people who knew boating. My grandpa and my uncles, they've all had boats and they've all taken me fishing and it's all this stuff. We were out on the ocean one day on my uncle's boat and you could see the storm rolling in. He's like, time to go. Time to go. And we put up the canopy and we're going, and I don't know how this man drove home. I couldn't see. But he's like, oh, we're fine. There's a buoy right there. I go, where? Trust me, it's there. And he was calm and it was fine. I can only imagine what it was like in a wooden boat on the Sea of Galilee with the storm just smashing against you. And the one person you know who could save you was asleep. Like, hey, wake up, 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 wake up. Help us. I love that. I love that Jesus is like, it's all right, I got this. Because he's God. Because storms aren't going to ruin him. He's the God of the storm. He's in it with me. What do you do when the storm of life rolls in? What choices do you make? Do you choose to shelter under the wing of God? Do you choose to look at him? Do you keep your face on his? Or does that storm just twist you up and beat you down and break you? See, we have these choices. I can choose to trust the one who holds the whole world in his hand and focus on him, or I can choose to focus on the storm. Storms used to terrify me as a kid. Absolutely terrify me. When I was in like first or second grade, we went to the library and I got a book on tornadoes. That was a mistake because every time there was a thunderstorm, I thought there was going to be a tornado. And my mom was like, stop. We're not going to read this book anymore. It's fine. You're fine. And it might have been because she had taken me camping and there was a tornado while we were camping and she put me in the tent to keep me safe. And I just saw the tent doing this and I'm like, ah! we were fine. And I kind of got over it. I kind of got over that fear for a little while because I listened to my mom. My mom and my dad were like, you're going to be fine. We have a basement. If we have to go in the basement, it's fine. And then about middle school age, I started developing this fear of tornadoes again. Because every time I went with my mom to Aldi, there was a tornado. And she thought I was exaggerating. And the one day she picked us up from school. She didn't want to drive us all the way home to go back out to Aldi. And she's like, no, you're going with me. It's bright. It's sunny. It's beautiful out. There's not going to be a tornado. You're going with me. And we went into Aldi and we're in there for like 40 minutes. And she made me push the cart. And I remember pushing the cart. And I remember we checked out and we walked out and the sky was green and the tornado sirens were going off. And I looked at her. She goes, you never have to go to Aldi with me ever again. That is a true story. You can ask my mom. And I didn't go to Aldi again until we got married. There was a thing, but when I focused on what I needed to focus on, the storm wasn't a problem. Since then, I have camped in thunderstorms. They don't bother me. I'm that guy who gets his cup of coffee and stands next to the window and watches the thunderstorm. I remember when the Blues were in the playoffs a few years ago, there was that one night, there was a really bad thunderstorm, and we were watching the game, and all of a sudden the tornado sirens went off, and the lights started flickering, and the TV was like, get in the basement now! And our girls were like, ah! They ran down to the basement, and Cassie's like, you coming down? I go, no, I'm going to open a window. Because I know who controls the storm. And these are funny stories. These are funny stories about actual storms, but the storms of life are way more serious than this. And they can beat you up and break you if you don't make the right choices, if you don't choose to focus on God and choose to focus on Him and walk with His Spirit and with His people. There is safe harbor for God's children in the storms of life. And we know that God works in all things for the good of those who love Him. Do you truly believe that? Do you truly believe that God works for the good of all those who love Him? And if you truly believe that, does your life and your actions show that? If you believe that, do your life, actions, and choices show that? So I have no choice if I will go through storms, but I get to choose my response to the storms. What's the second question? Well, I told you we got a no choice and a choice. So I have no choice if my life produces fruit. I have no choice if my life produces fruit. We see in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23, it says this. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And things like these. Sorry, I'm reading out a different translation. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Scripture makes it very clear to us that our choices have consequences. Our choices have consequences. When I make righteous choices, I reap righteousness. So if I make a righteous choice, a righteous end result happens. When I make sinful choices, I reap the consequences of sin. My life will produce fruit through the choices I make, and there's no denying that. Our world right now tries to tell us that our actions and our choices don't have consequences. It tries to teach you that, oh no, you're not going to get in trouble for that. There's going to be no consequences of that decision. It's everything as simple as eating ice cream on a Saturday night. There's consequences of that. My tummy hurt. To something far more serious as going to the bar, drinking a bunch, and then driving home, and at the very worst, killing somebody. Or maybe getting pulled over and arrested. There's consequences to all our choices. Even the good ones. When I choose to invest my time in God's word, The result is I'm going to know God's word and I'm going to have it written on my heart. So when the storm shows up, I have it there ready. I hear God's voice. We have consequences, both good and bad, to our choices. And we got to ignore the world on that one because they're going to tell you you don't. So I don't have a choice if my life is going to produce fruit. I choose what fruit I produce. If we look again in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to look at 17 and 24. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I don't get to choose whether or not my choices have consequences. But I get to choose the direction they go. I get to choose what fruit my life is going to produce. Galatians is very clear that if we walk by the Spirit, our life produces the fruit of the Spirit. And if we walk by the desires of our flesh, our life produces the flesh. It produces sin. What fruit is evident in your life? And this is a question for you to look at. It's not a question for you to like raise your hand and be like, right now my life is producing. That's between you and God, not between you and me. But I really want you to honestly look at your life and what is coming from my life. What fruit do I see being produced in my life? It was really encouraging. Not that long ago, I was having a conversation with somebody and they were just talking about a group of kids that my daughters are attached to. Not here, so you don't have to worry about that. But they're like, man, those kids are just dumb. I was like, well, they're teenagers. They're like, but your girls make good choices. I was like, they're dumb too. They're like, yeah, but you could tell. This is a direct quote. It's not true. But he goes, you could tell you beat those kids. I was like, hold on a minute. I don't beat my children. He was like, you disciplined them. I go, that's a better word. Discipline them. Yes, they got spankings when they were little. He's like, and you can tell. You can tell that you've disciplined your children. You've trained them to make right choices. Where these other kids, I kind of want to choke them. And I was like, Dad, you can't say that about your own grandkids. He's like, I know, you're right. But it's true. Like, Cassie and I made very conscious choices and decisions on how we were going to raise our kids. And I believe I am seeing and reaping the fruit of that as they are teenagers. Because I just want to be clear, our daughters are very different teenagers than Cassie and I were. In the best kind of way. Like we're the reason that we have Life 360 on their phones. And I thank God for that. I do. I really do. But that's funny. I get it. That's really funny. But that's true. Like the choices we made. I talk to people a lot about raising their kids. Or talking to people who have older kids and look at how we're raising our daughters. And they're like, you made a lot of front end decisions. You made a lot of choices when they were really little that are now paying off now that they're older. And we respect that and we want to emulate that. And it's true. I wanted these choices and Cassie wanted these choices when they were small so that they didn't have the hard choices when they were older. And that's the same for us as Christians. I don't care where you're at right now. If you start making good choices, start planting seeds. If you're planting, the analogy is going to be weird, but if you're planting banana trees now, in like 5 years, you're not going to expect oranges, right? Right? You reap what you sow is what Scripture tells us. So what choices are you making? What fruit is evident in your life? Again, this is a question for you to look at. Are you honoring God? Are you living a righteous life based off of what Scripture tells us? Is that the fruit you're planting? Is that the seed you're planting? Because that's what you're going to reap. Are you not making those choices based off Scripture? Because Scripture tells us if you choose this seed, you're going to reap this harvest. if it's a good seed, you're going to reap a good harvest. If it's a bad seed, you're going to reap a bad harvest. Scripture is very clear. And I need to make it very clear also that righteousness and the fruit that comes for it are defined by God through His Word. No one, not someone up here, not someone on Facebook, and not someone on TV can define it any other way. Righteousness is defined by God because He is the only one who is righteous. It is the right and wise way of living because God is the one who designed life. So what fruit are you reaping in your life? Because you don't get to choose if you're going to produce fruit. You get to choose what fruit you're going to produce. Finally today, let's look at one more choice we have. And again, we have no choice at the beginning. I have no choice if I'm going to be a slave. I have no choice if I'm going to be a slave. Matthew 6:24 says this. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Scripture is very clear that we have to choose a side. There's only two sides. There's only two sides. In the book of Revelation, you're either a sheep or a goat. In Revelation, it tells one of the church, stop being lukewarm because you haven't really chosen a side. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. By not choosing, you're choosing. Other places in Scripture compare old man and new man, old Adam and new Adam, the fallen and the redeemed, the pagans and the saints. There's two sides, darkness and light. I don't get to choose if I'm going to be a slave. We are going to be slaves to something. If not Jehovah, then it will be another God. The God of Wall Street, the God of our children, the God of sports, the God of employment, the God of addiction. Satan's fooled us. We read this Old Testament and we see gods like Baal and Astra and Molech and Chemosh. And we look at them and we're like, oh, those stupid people. They weren't smart. They believed these little idols. They looked at these wooden carved images. They made up these beings. And we look at that and we're like, nobody worships those things anymore. But we do. You worshiped Baal and Astra by having free sex. You worship Chemosh and Molech by sacrificing the babies that came from that free sex. You can't tell me we don't worship those things in our society today. We're just as dumb as they were. We don't get to choose if we're going to be slave. We get to choose who is my master. I get to choose who is my master. Romans 6:16 through 18 says this. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin. You who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. In Scripture, Jesus tells us to come to Him because His burden is light and His yoke is easy. How many times have you read that passage and thought, oh, that's all about slavery? Like, wait, what? My yoke is light, my burden is easy. A yoke is a form of bondage for an animal. Jesus said, you're going to choose who you're going to serve. And I'm going to let you know, the burden I'm going to put on you is way easier than the burden the world's going to put on you. You guys get to choose this morning. Thank God He is a good and gracious Lord. We're going to look at instructions God gave to slave owners. It's in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, starting in verse 16. It says, and he's talking about a slave talking to its master. But if he says to you, I will not go out from you because he loves you and your household, since he is well off with you, then you should take out an awl and put it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your slave forever. And your female slave you shall to your female slave, you shall do the same. God tells us that there were times when a person as a slave was living a better life under their master than they could have if they were free. I'm going to put that out there again. As a slave, their life was better than if they were a free man. And if they loved their master, because Jewish law said you could only have a slave for 7 years. And if they loved their master and they wanted to remain that master's slave, they could go to him and say, I want to be yours forever. And he would take them to the door and he would take an awl and pierce their ear. And that was the symbol of them being his forever. We get the same choice. You have that same choice this morning. I saw that life as a slave to Christ was better than life on my own. Life as a slave to Christ was better than life as a slave to the world. And that's when I surrendered in the waters of baptism. I literally took God to the doorpost and had him pierce my ear. Spiritually. And you can have that same choice this morning. You see, choice is a problem. Choice is a problem. And next week we're going to talk about choice as a problem. But just understand, choice is a problem. Because if you teach first grade and somebody's having a birthday, the teacher tells you one type of cupcake. One type of cupcake. Because if you have two types of cupcake, there's a choice and it becomes a problem. Choice is a problem. Choice ruins things. But we have that choice this morning. You have that difficult choice this morning. Am I going to be a slave to Christ or am I going to be a slave to sin? You have that choice this morning. Your choice can either lead you away from God or lead you to God. And today, each of us has that choice. It may be cold in here, but the water's warm. I promise you the water's warm. You can surrender today to Christ. You can have that choice. You can make that choice this morning. You can choose to follow him and be his. And can I tell you that just like that slave who has it better as his masters, you will have it better as your masters. I firmly believe that life with God is far better than life apart from God. I've lived both lives. I can speak from experience. And it's the best decision you're ever going to be. In fact, we had a couple of young women make that decision recently, and we weren't able to celebrate them last week. Allie, are you in here? Oh, she just left. Hey, when you see Allie, give her a big hug. And Aurora's not here this morning either. If you know who Aurora is, give her a big hug too if you see her. And these young women made this choice. They're like, everything is God's. And can I tell you, this has been a key phrase for me in the last few weeks. It's about direction and not perfection. You're not always going to make the right choice. I don't always make the right choice. I had ice cream last night. Thursday night, I ate 7 pretzel sticks. And they weren't little. They were delicious. And I regret nothing until the next day. We make those choices. We don't always make the right ones. But this morning, you can make a right choice. You can start right now. That's the whole point of repentance. Repentance is turning around, changing your direction, and going towards God. And this morning, you have that opportunity. There's a card in your bulletin. It's a simple little communication card. If you need prayer requests, there's a spot for prayer. If you have questions, there's little boxes you can check. Somebody will be in touch with you if you have questions. And it's just an opportunity for you to respond to this morning. We don't do an altar call. You can respond from your chair right where you're at. You're going to see in the back there's some baskets, and you're going to see our members put their offering and communication card in there. If you're a guest this morning, we didn't ask you to come here to get something from you. Don't feel obligated to put anything in the plate other than your communication card if you wish to do that. We hope that this morning God has spoken to you and God has used me somehow to relay his word to you, and that you can start making righteous choices or continue making righteous choices that lead you in step with his spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the guidance it gives us and the light it shines in this world that's full of darkness, Father. Thank you so much for providing that for us. Thank you for your son, who is the reason we get to be here this morning. We get to celebrate the fact that he came to this world and he made all of the right choices. He made all the right choices, Father. He lived a perfect life so that those of us who can't, which is everybody, still have an opportunity and a way to be your children, to be your slaves, Father. I pray for the people who have already made that decision to have their ears pierced in the waters of baptism, that they are yours and that they, this week, can make good choices. And when they make poor choices, that doesn't stop them and that doesn't deter them from making the next right choice. They can confess and repent and move forward, Father, and walk in step with your spirit. Because we all stumble, God. I'm dumb, God. I make bad choices all the time. But you are great and gracious and forgive us. And for those of us who in this room haven't surrendered their lives to you, I pray they can really look at their lives, look at scripture, and have the courage to talk to somebody like, hey, what was Mike talking about? This piercing his ear. He didn't have any earrings. What is he talking about? And just help them, guide them to somebody who will share your word with them, open up scripture, and just love them through your word. We love you, Father. It is in your name I pray. Amen.
I'm so secure, you're here with me, you stay the same.
You'll never let me go. Suppose I believe you'll never.